Lord, I ask that you would help all of us deal with those in our lives that are, well, don't seem to disappear, but cause us a lot, great deal of problems in terms of pain and hurt. And I ask that you would take this message and work it into our lives where we need to hear it. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. This is the sixth in a series of on forgiveness. Today, really where the rubber hits the road, so to speak. I want to talk to you about maintaining a forgiving heart in ongoing circumstances or relationships that we're stuck in because of the life situation. It's tough to apply the principles of forgiveness in an ongoing situation. In the old Disney movie Song of the South, the Uncle Remus tells stories about Brer Rabbit, Brer Fox, and Brer Bear. And one of those stories is a story of Brer Fox trying to catch Brer Rabbit by use of a tar baby. And Brer Fox constructed a person out of tar, stuck some hair on him, and put button eyes and a pipe in his mouth, much like a snowman, but made of tar. And Brer Rabbit came hopping by and says, "Howdy," to the tar baby. And of course, the tar baby doesn't say anything. So he backs up and he says, "Howdy," again. And still there's no response. And he gets frustrated and he says, "Listen, if you don't say howdy back when I say howdy, I'm going to smack you one." And again, there was silence. Let me show you this.
Scratch one ear with his off behind foot and loud, he will find out why he can't get no answer. Then he says, he,
"Oh, what's the matter with you? I said, howdy. Is you all in here? I said, howdy."
But the tall baby, he don't say nothing. And Brer Fox, he lay low. Brer Rabbit, now it's up to him to teach the stuck-up stranger some manners. And he say,
"Look. If you don't say how to time out on the street, I'm gonna bust you wide open."
But the talk baby, he don't say nothing, and Brer Fox, he ain't So Brer Rabbit, he started counting.
One.
But the talk baby, he say nothing. Brer Fox laid low and shot him in the stomach.
Two.
But still the talk baby don't say nothing. Brer Fox, he laid low.
So, Tar Baby is stuck to Brer Rabbit. The challenge that he now faced was that he was stuck to a person he couldn't communicate with. The Tar Baby. I've got a feeling that goes on regularly in our lives. I don't want to see hands, but does anyone here have a Tar Baby in your life that you're stuck to? When the holidays roll around, is there anyone in your family that you are attached to that is like a tar baby, an uncle or a crazy aunt or maybe a brother or sister that is a painful relationship? Maybe it's a mother-in-law still wondering why her daughter married you, or a father you can never please. You can pick your friends, but you can't pick your relatives. And because of this relationship, you find yourself facing the challenge of forgiveness on a regular basis, a tar baby relationship. And it happens in marriages as well. You are stuck together and communications is pretty close to non-existent, and you are challenged to forgive and keep on forgiving. It may be old history that is brought to the front of each time you get stuck to them. So whether we're talking about tar babies of the present or tar babies from the pains of our past, I want to raise up 8 principles of how to maintain a forgiving heart in an ongoing circumstance with people or person or a situation. And this is really where the rubber hits the road in a lot of us. And you have a list of them in your bulletin. I've got 8 things that I want to talk to you about. And the first one is be prepared. The Boy Scout motto is the first principle. I don't like surprises. I want to have some kind of a grasp on how things are going to happen. Be prepared and anticipate repeated offenses. Get ready for it. Don't be blindsided when somebody keeps hurting you. And throughout Scripture, we are warned to not be surprised when stuff happens to us. And I got a bunch of Scripture. Read with me 1 Peter 4, verses 12 to 14, and it's in your bulletin. Here we go. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal which comes upon you to prove you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice in so far as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. Now, Peter is writing to let us know that we will be attacked, and we need to be prepared and handled it in a Christ-like manner. In Luke chapter 17 is an admonition that Jesus gives to forgive people ongoing with. So read with me Luke 17, 3 and 4. Here we go. Take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times in the day and turns to you 7 times and says, I repent, you must forgive him. Notice here what Jesus says. If your brother sins, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. If he does it 7 times, you repent and you forgive him 7 times in a day. Now that sounds to me like a tar baby. I don't know about you, but that's what it sounds like. 7 times in a day, that's a tar baby. Part of our lives as followers of Jesus is having tar babies that you can't get away from. There are people who can hurt us on a continuous basis. Jesus says, forgive them. Repeated offenses call for repeated forgiveness. Why? Because Jesus knew that if you choose not to forgive, the person who pays the highest price is you. You're the one who is controlled and dominated and continually poisoned by your own hostility, bitterness, resentment, and pain. You pay. And he says, for your own benefit, forgive. Now, there are some practical counseling that goes along with this. So the second principle, besides being prepared, is guard your heart. Read the first 4 words in Luke 17:3. I've got it bold here on a reason. Take heed to yourselves. Jesus knew how difficult it can be to when your heart continually gets lacerated and it's tough to keep on keeping on. When I talked about the misconceptions of forgiveness, one of those is that you don't have to restore relationships immediately, and maybe not at all. But when you're stuck to a tar baby, Jesus was saying, watch yourself. Guard your heart. Read with me Proverbs 4:23. Here we go. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of your life. What does that mean? Well, it means that whatever steps are necessary to maintain a forgiving heart. If necessary, get away from situations that tempt you to go back on your commitments to forgive. We probably have people around us who have the capacity to hurt us ongoingly. And the best thing to do is keep that to a dull roar by avoiding them, but of course, that is not always possible. Now, I'm not saying if your boss is a tar baby that you go in tomorrow and say, I quit because Jack said to. Nor am I saying that you say, your spouse, I've had it, I'm moving out. That's not what I'm saying, but there are circumstances where you can guard your heart. And usually it is accomplished by putting some space between you and that person to allow forgiveness to move through your soul. Now, you have to be careful here for a couple reasons. First, don't absent yourself from the person as a subtle form of retaliation. And second, don't absent yourself from them to avoid trying to reconcile the situation or the relationship. But there are times when you don't have the capacity to handle continual hurt and to guard your heart. It is best that you step aside, if at all possible, and give yourself a chance to heal. Third thing here is anticipate inner turmoil. Whenever you choose to be a forgiver, you will need to realize that you're going to have an inner struggle at times with the whole thing. The Apostle Paul wrote this in Romans chapter 7, verses 15 to 25, and it's the longest one. But I want us to read it together because this is Paul talking about his own humanity. Here we go. I do not understand my own actions, for I do not know what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree that the law is good. So then it is no longer I that do it, but sin which dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells within me, that is in my flesh. I can will what is right, but I cannot do it. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do. Now if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I that do it, but sin which dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inmost self, but I see in my members another law at war with the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin which dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I of myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. Now what he is describing here is the fact that even though Christ Jesus, we may be a new creation and have a new nature, we still have to battle the old flesh that is in us, that we live in. This old flesh has a way, a nature, a habit, a view of the world, and it doesn't matter whether you're 20, 30, 40, 50, 75. The old nature gives us a well-beaten path on how to really react to things in this life. And when we get hurt, we get embarrassed. When we get attacked, we fight back, and whether it's revenge or resentment. And that is the old nature. And Paul describes that inner turmoil. He says, I really want to do good as Jesus man, but this old flesh keeps wanting to revert back to its old ways of behavior, and it's a tremendous struggle for me. Now, as it relates to forgiveness, Paul may be saying, because I am Jesus man, I know that what is right and what I'm called to do, but my own memories and my negative thinking and feelings overwhelm me at times. Now, I can identify with that. I want to forgive the tar baby and folks who hurt me, but it's hard because my flesh just screams at me. Enough is enough. Get out of it. So what do we do? Well, Paul says there's hope, and it's in the last couple of verses here where he says, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let me give you one more setback before I give you some hope in this. Expect satanic attack and harassment. You'd better expect it. If you let your thought travel from what Paul describes in Romans, where he has this inner struggle, to Ephesians, you'll see that it isn't just our own habits or patterns and old human nature that screams at us. There is something else at work, what we need to understand. There's very real evil out there and in here sometimes. And he's determined to keep you hating and hurting. And his name is Satan, and he is very real. Read with me Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 12. Here we go. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we are not contending against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers, against the world rulers of this present darkness, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Now, why does Satan hate it when you start living a life of forgiveness? Well, there's several reasons, actually. When you start living a life of grace towards the undeserving, you're going to glorify God. And Satan hates it when anybody glorifies God. Secondly, when you start living a life of grace, other people start seeing the changes in you, and you begin to become an evangelistic threat to the powers of darkness. And thirdly, the Satan wants to keep you from forgiving because as long as you don't forgive, he's got you on the hook. His hook is in you. Read with me Ephesians 4, 26 and 7. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil. Now, I got foothold right there beside that. In your anger, don't sin. He didn't say don't get angry, because you're going to get angry. He says in your anger, don't sin. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry, and don't give the devil opportunity to put his hook in you. And Paul is saying that if you refuse to forgive, you are literally giving the devil a chance to hook you. And the word opportunity here means foothold. And that's a geographical term of ground. You are giving Satan a place to stand in your life. And I expect that some of us live a defeated Christian life because we refuse to forgive the tar baby in our life and that person that hurts you, and you are hooked, and it affects every part of your life. When we refuse to forgive, Satan has leverage that he needs, and it shows itself in all kinds of ways. And we need to realize that we have an enemy who doesn't want us to forgive, and he wants to control us, and he whispers to us all of the time. Do you ever hear that whisper of Satan? Who's your tar baby? A spouse who is unfaithful, a boss who continually harasses you, a partner in business, somebody in your social group, somebody here in church, a family member in your extended family, like brother, sister, or parent. Have you ever heard the whisper of Satan? They're not really sorry that they hurt you. You're not going to forgive that, are you? And he whispers that in our ears. And you encounter them at a family gathering or in some kind of social setting. You see them at a church, or they're laughing with someone, and here comes the whisper. Look at them laugh. They don't even care that they hurt you. Are you going to let them get away with that? And on that whisper comes. Maybe it has to do with someone at school or work, and the whisper comes. You don't have to put up with this. If God really loves you, he wouldn't ask you to stay in that marriage or stay in that friendship or stay in that job. He wouldn't ask you to keeping on. If he really cares, you're not a doormat. Now, I'm not saying that there may be some discussion in these areas, but I know that the enemy is going to whisper in our ears and our hearts, and as such, you face a point of choice then. So let me start with the fifth thing here. Number five, you're going to have to choose to capture your thoughts. You're going to have to choose to capture your thoughts. I know that some of you have read the book. It's a one that's been around for a lot of years called Battlefields of the Mind. It's actually a pretty good book, and that's where most of the battles actually take place, is in your mind. Read with me 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 to 5. This is the description of the struggle. Here we go. For though we live in the world, we are not carrying on a worldly war. For the weapons of our warfare are not worldly, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every proud obstacle to the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ. Now, we're taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. I'm going to capture my thoughts. Be ruthless with your thought life, folks. Paul is saying that because you think, what you think determines how you feel, and that determines how you act. You have to get a good grip on your thoughts. Here come the thoughts. They hurt me. You can't stop the thoughts, and you can't stop the whispers, and at the same time, you know the things that Christ calls you to be. So here you are, and thoughts come. I was abandoned, or I was betrayed, and every time the thoughts come, we have to capture them and choose to forgive. The more you do that, the more you can take those thoughts captive, and you will discover that those old voices will lessen in intensity and frequency. We are giving our mind to Christ Jesus. If Jesus is your Savior and you're in that process of making Him Lord of your life, then you will have increasingly the mind of Christ with which to capture your thoughts. When the whinings of the flesh or the whisperings of the enemy would cause you to say, I'm not going to forgive, you can choose to say, yes, I will, and yes, I'm going to. The mind of Christ gives you the strength and the power to choose to capture your thoughts and forgive. The sixth thing is you need to renew your mind continually. It is not easy to simply say, don't think about that. Stopping this inner struggle is kind of like wet paint in the sign which says wet paint. You just have to touch it, don't you? We can't just say, don't think about that person, don't think about what they did and continue to do, and then it comes. Oops. Oh no, I thought about him. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, shows that pathway of renewal. So read with me Romans 12, 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may prove what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Be not conformed to this world. Now, this is renewing of your mind continually. It's not one-time thing. Nothing is more comfortable to this world than to hurt and resent and be bitter and hostile and want revenge when you've been hurt. Paul says, renew your mind. Fill your mind with Scripture. That gives you truth. Why? Because Satan will lie to you, and as long as you believe the lie, you're on his hook. And Jesus knew that truth. Satan is the father of lies. His power over us only comes through lies, and so here come the lies. I've been abused, and nobody understands. Also, your own human nature is the other liar to you. So between the flesh and the devil, you need to hear the truth. Jesus is the truth, and he has been right where you are at that point. You know, in Scripture it says, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. We have one who has been tempted in every way, just like we have, but without sin. And Jesus understands. Be you transformed continually by the renewal of your mind. The second line comes, I've been slandered and my reputation is ruined and I face death right now. The truth is, the Lord is with me and I shall not fear. What can man do? Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ, and he prays for me and he died for me. And the third kind of lie that comes to us and we have to continually renew our mind is, I've been unfairly judged and I've been made the object of ridicule. I will never be vindicated. And the truth, he will bring to light what is hidden. He He will expose the motives of men's hearts. At that time, each will receive his grace and justice. This is how it works. The more you fill your mind with the scriptures, the more you are able to take your thoughts captive when the flesh whines and the evil one whispers, and fill your mind with God's truth. Some of us may wonder why it doesn't seem to be happening to us. Well, the reason some of us have trouble controlling our thought patterns is because of what we did last night. You know, we watch television, and some of those programs put the world thinking into our minds continuously, and we wonder why we can't control our thoughts. And the lies come to us through that box. We find ourselves confused. The reason is our thoughts are diluted and polluted by the world thinking, by what we receive. So take note, the truth is in the Word. The seventh thing I want to think is make yourself accountable to somebody. One of the best safeguards of the Christian walk, and specifically in dealing with tar babies you struggle with, is to have a small group of friends around you. And that's why we push prayer groups through the Great Banquet. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 and 10 kind of paints that picture of accountability and support. So let's read it together. Here we go. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. I expect all of us have our tar babies in this life. Our temptation is that when we get nailed, our minds can go sour pretty fast. If we have a few people around us, when we mouth off, they can help temper that. Read with me James 5:16. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Now read with me Galatians 6:2 as well. Here we go. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Now, one of the best things that we can do is talk to people we trust and are confidants. When we're really struggling, if you have a friend, or if you can be a friend, it helps us in our accountability and our need to support one another. Not many of us have the wisdom or the strength to carry all the stuff that comes at us alone and still be solid in our faith and our need for divine understanding of life. You can get through life without others, but you'll probably suffer from what I call stinking thinking. And you will continue to suffer under much of what we have been talking about during this series. One of the things that we have is when you're all by yourself, your thinking becomes the law. And if you're with other people, they help you temper that. They give you different perspectives. And the last thing is pray for your tar baby. Pray for that person that hurt you, that man or woman, that child or parent, brother or sister, that person at work, your spouse, your ex-spouse, or whoever. David once gave a good example in his words that he wrote in the Psalms. He was a man in leadership. And leadership has its own kinds of unique challenge with people. Psalm 109 speaks about his problems with people who attacked him. Read with me Psalm 109, verses 1 to 5. Here we go. A psalm of David. Be not silent, O God of my praise, for wicked and deceitful mouths are open against me, speaking against me with lying tongues. They beset me with words of hate and attack me without cause. I return for my love. They accuse me, even as I make prayer for them. So they reward me evil for good, and hatred for my love. And look at verse 4 here, and I've got it bold. In the midst of his complaint, he says, even as I make prayer for them. David chose to pray for these people. Pray for your tar babies. Jesus put it well. Read with me finally Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 to 45. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. Pray for them because they matter to God. Here's something to think about. Hurt people hurt people. I found that out a long time ago. They may choose to spray their poison at you, but they live with a motherload of that poison. They carry within them the wellspring, so pray for them. So when it comes to the tar babies of your life, may the Lord grant you a forgiving heart and give you also the things needed to maintain that forgiving heart. Let's pray. Lord, I ask that you would, in fact, speak to each of us about our daily life and those that are in it. And as we think about those who sin against us, help us also to remember that we might be the one sinning against somebody else as well. In Jesus' name. Amen.